Wait a minute, man. Hey, check this out, man.
Tell it, man.
It was this blind man, right? It was this blind man, right? He was feeling his way down the street with this stick, right?
Yeah.
Hey, he walked past this fish market. You know what I'm saying?
Fish market.
He stopped. He took a deep breath. He said, "Woo! Good morning, ladies."
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C. Ford.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much that game, it was nuts.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to play it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Ludicrous kill.
All right, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 103. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
It is October 16th, 2005. The website is hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. That's c4.gameradio@gmail.com. You can join people on IRC. The show's not live, it is taped, but there's people that hang out there all day long and all night long, too, and that seems to be when all the cool stuff happens anyway. At irc.oftc.net, and the channel is Gamer, G-A-M-E-R. Now, for this week, both of us were sick.
Yep.
So if there's a little nasally-ness, like more so than usual to my voice, please forgive me. I'm a little stuffed up still.
As well as I have a residual cough, so even worse than normal.
Your chronic cough is still there. And now you've got this leftover from being hella sick. So, on top of that, next week, I said this last week, I believe. I had it posted on the site. I wanted to make sure that this is extremely clear, is that there's no way that we're going to be able to record next week at all. And it's because I'm going to be an absolute disaster. I'm coming off of a 10-day work week. Today's day 6, for those of you that care, which is nobody. And then I'm going to move after that. And I won't have an internet connection or phones or probably even my computer hooked up and ready to do this kind of stuff for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the box is getting hooked up immediately.
Yeah, but I was going to say.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be able to find the microphones and crap or anything. So I'm going to be, life is going to be a little bit of a disaster for just a little bit. So when we return the week after next to do episode 104, I'm hoping we can do it on the PSP. Since last week we got to talk about some pretty cool Nintendo DS games. And it's going to be very fun, I believe, to do the PSP games because they all suck. Okay? And that's why I don't really want to talk about the PSP games. They suck. Honest to God, they're terrible.
And they're expensive compared to what portable games have always been.
Right. They should be way close, like $30 range. Yeah. Not the crappy ones costing you $25 to $35. No, that is not right. And the decent ones, or at least the new ones, costing $50. But the PSP's usefulness lies, I think, in the audio and video capabilities of it, and the emulation, all that homebrew goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be interesting to talk about, but that kind of thing needs a lot of, work ahead of time. And, we're working on it. Okay. Let's get right into the email, then. We've got our first email. Oh, this is great. All right. Spets, our buddy from many, many moons ago. I remember when he first wrote, and I used to pronounce his name all wrong. And now I just call him Spets. It was Spetsnaz C4 at the time. And let's see. Anyway, dear C4, I'm writing to tell you why I may be discontinuing my patronage of your show. The interweb has brought us many things. Ease of commerce. Ability to share one's views on a multitude of subjects with one's peers, lots and lots of pornography, and a way of tracking down just about anything thine heart desire. Say I wanted to find a great Super Nintendo game I had never played. I could easily hit up Google and find out where I may purchase the game. I have also come across sites that allow you to download a ROM of a game that you have purchased, ensuring nowhere on the cart. And then there's a page where he just fills it with periods to burn my printer out. And then he screams at me, okay, God damn it, C4, play Chrono Trigger now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've mentioned this before, and it's a big topic out in IRC sometimes, about how I have never managed to play that game. And it just didn't happen at the time, and I've been taking steps to ensure that that happens, not to mention the fact I'm going to be a week or two without any interweb access anyway. So I'm going to have a lot of free time on my hands, and this is in the pipe. This is in the chute. This is gearing up here. I'm ready. I'm getting close now. Okay, I'm working on it. That's my favorite line. I'm working on it. I told it to my mom when I was growing up. I told it to my teachers when I was growing up in school. I tell it to my boss now. I'm working on it. All right, there's no excuse. Mint Inbox Chrono Trigger probably goes for $80. Get the loose cart for $20. No Super Nintendo? Emulate it. Prefer to play on a TV? Use your friggin' modded Xbox, broham. Controller layout is decent, and the emulator's up to task. Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger are in constant battle for the number one spot on my top 10 list of turn-based RPGs.
And anybody who's a fan of the series.
That's what I keep hearing,
of the genre.
That's what I keep hearing, too, is everybody tells me, you know what, those two games are fantastic, and some people lean more towards one or the other, you know, sometimes, but I do see a lot of people undecided on that. And, you know, this is fantastic that something like this has been brought to my attention, because we can bring it to everybody's attention that I'm sure there's plenty of people that have either played neither of these games and they're huge RPG fans, or they've played one of the two and they're huge RPG fans and loved one, you know, whichever one they played.
Right.
So this isn't just for my benefit. This is, I'm hoping that this aids somebody in their search for an awesome RPG. Let's see. Wait, did I read that whole sentence? I don't think so. Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger are in a constant battle for the number one spot on my top 10 list of turn-based RPGs. It's a beautiful game. Graphics, music, story, all top-notch. Set aside 1 hour for it. I bet you will get hooked. And see, that's what I'm afraid of. I may be forced to go on strike until you give in to my demands. Good day, sir. I said good day! That was from Spets. Let's see. And he says, P.S., have either you or Kobar played Snatcher, a great Hideo Kojima, that's from Metal Gear,
right,
game? I watched the MGS4 preview again and was amazed that such a blatant Snatcher reference was made, and I hadn't picked up on it in the four or so other times that I watched it. It's that friggin' little robot that Otacon is controlling. In Snatcher, you play a detective in the future that has a little personal robot named Metal Gear. And there's a picture attached here that is way too freaking long, but the site, oh no, that's ridiculous. Anyway, the kind of funny thing from the MGS4 vid was when Otacon says the robot uses the cell processor. In the Sega CD version of Snatcher, Metal Gear gets damaged, and when he's repaired with a Sega CD. Go play Chrono Trigger, C4. See ya.
So, no, I have not. I had not even heard of Snatcher.
I've heard of it, and I want to say I've even seen screenshots of it, because when he showed me the screenshots, the links here, I looked really familiar. That's pretty funny, and I'm sure a lot of people that are really into his works and Metal Gear and all that would enjoy to know, you know, little jokes like that, little like throwbacks to old games and stuff. That's cool. I like that.
I like that whole that whole inside joke sort of thing. That's funny.
You know, and in fact, I was playing Zelda Minish Cap the other day, and I ran into a guy named Dr. Left. Remember, wasn't Dr. Wright in a bunch of old, like, Nintendo, like, Super Nintendo games or something? Like, wasn't he the dude in, like, SimCity 2000 or whatever, or SimCity on the Super Nintendo? Wasn't he that crazy guy that ran out and gave you your prizes and shit? The guy looks really familiar to me, though, for some reason. I can't place what game he was from, though, and his name was Dr. Wright in a bunch of other games. I know. And anyway, I ran into this guy, Dr. Left, and I actually laughed. Like, I was sitting in my room in the dark by myself at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I laughed. It was good times. Now, also, Spets, thank you for the pictures. I made a small request for some pictures last week, and the request has been filled. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. That was very educational. And for any Microsoft employees listening, the machine, the modem, the router, all that information passed through has been burned and destroyed and sent into little pieces at the different corners of the world. So that information is not going anywhere. I just wanted to take a look at it. We have an email from, oh, this is going to be fun. What is this? Yum. Kind of like when you're eating really good food. Okay. Hey now, C4. I've been listening for a while, and I thought I would chime in with a segment I call Games and Young Men Entertainment Radio. You can work out that acronym for yourself. My latest procurement is the Nintendo DS. Okay, now this is a great email, because that's... Remember we were talking about how gay this game has got to be?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to work on the acronym if you're not following us here. My latest procurement is the Nintendo DS. Nintendogs has totally changed my life. That's
interesting statement.
That's one. Yeah, that's heavy. I have a peach of a chihuahua named Popcorn and a lovely lab named Buttercup. I had two gerbils when I was a young lad, but when they died while I was playing with them, you should have seen Mother's face. I knew I couldn't handle with another pet dying in its lifetime. Thank God for Nintendogs. I can spend hours playing with these guys in my van. Kids love them too. They climb right in and play until their parents show up.
I can only hope that's a joke.
Yeah. As long as he's not at, like, the playground or something when he does this. Jesus Christ. All right. The Tamagotchi craze passed me by. I tried some of those pet-raising sims like creatures, but they were just not fun. Each day, it is pretty much the same. Feed, clean up, play, repeat indefinitely. Boring, stale, cure for insomnia. When I had a Dreamcast, I got my hands on Seaman and loved it. He sure had attitude. Watching him evolve is fascinating. It's a one-time play, though. The stylus play just is a gaming breakthrough. Bravo, Nintendo, bravo. I don't know what my next DS game will be. Castlevania sounds good. I heard in Japan there's a game coming out called Touch Dick. There's no K on the end of that, by the way. I'm not sure what you do, but it sounds nice. My doggies are calling, so I'm going to wrap this up. Carry on the great work. Oh, man. That's such a messed up email. But Nintendog, seriously, I hate to say it, but it looks like it is that good. And everything that we have seen and heard and read keeps pointing us to this game is just that good.
Okay, my friend, people in IRC will know him as Ravada. We were at Best Buy, and he walks up to a DS, and he goes, "Oh no, it's Nintendog's." So, and this is the guy that plays, like, FPSs.
And that one really gay game, what's that called? I forgot.
Madden!
And there's another really gay game that he plays with a bunch of people.
Wow!
Oh, wow, that's right.
That one he was never gonna play. He was like Modem a while back. Right. Oh my god, MMOs,
blah, blah, blah. RPGs are so retarded.
Yeah.
Hey, I was like that too once, you know. I was shown the light for the glory that is Final Fantasy XI.
But anyway, he starts playing this game. And all of a sudden, I go over and I'm playing WarioWare Touched because I had never seen it. And it was kind of cool. I liked it more than Wario, the original one. The WarioWare Touched is actually kind of cool.
Oh, right. That's the one that I screwed up with Wario World last week.
Right. But anyway, I'm playing that for a couple minutes. And I get done and I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. And I walk over to where he's playing.
That wasn't a queef. That was me opening a soda.
And all of a sudden, he like sets the stylus down and like, backs away and he's like all disgusted. He's like, "Oh my god, I was almost hooked." What the fuck is going on?
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's funny though. It's like a really weird good time.
I told that story about Mrs. Ford last 2 weeks ago, whatever, about the way that she was like sucked to it. I can tell the story, and she swears it didn't happen like that, but she's so full of shit. I watched it happen, and no matter how good I try to tell a story, words cannot describe that look. You know, it was like the look that you had when you were like 5 years old and you first saw fucking Super Mario Brothers, you know, and you've been playing fucking E.T. on your Atari 2600 the whole time.
Right.
It was just like that pure wonderment and amazement, you know, just absolute awe.
But that makes sense. She's a girl. It's a girly game. Us guys are getting sucked into this and it's just bizarre.
Okay. But I wonder if this would have this, what I like to call the Sims syndrome. I was sucked into it out of curiosity for a week, and then just hated it after that. I could not stand it.
It is hard to see if it would stand the test of time. Like, how long?
Like, I can't even take care of myself. How am I going to take care of virtual pets? Okay, especially when they're so cute. I'm going to feel bad. I'm neglecting them. You're going to see, like, their rib cages showing through and stuff. And I'm going to have them running drugs to the airport with me, step up their parts.
In balloons, I hope.
Right, of course.
Right.
We don't want them using the shit. I don't know. I don't see me playing that, but I like for long. But I see me playing it at least for the experience.
It's tough to tell because I've only played it for maybe 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. This is, you know.
Yeah, no, I at this point in time, I must say that there's nothing wrong with this game at all. Like, if you're worried about your masculinity when you're playing this game, don't, because you know what? It's probably hell fun. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's really worth checking out. And one day in the future, if I do own a DS, I'm gonna have to get this game for it. It's not into my hands anymore.
Right.
You know, yeah. And that's fine because I know I'll play the damn thing, at least for a little while anyway, you know. Hell, I'll probably break into a fight with her over it. No, my doggy.
It's my turn.
My doggy needs to go for a walk too. Oh my, how far I've fallen. Our next email comes to us from Viper. And let's see, in reply to the Nintendo DS homebrew topic on episode 102, yes, there is a Super Nintendo emulator for the DS, but it's very slow and only plays a handful of ROMs. If anyone wants to try it, they can grab it at some ridiculous URL, but he tiny URL'd it for us. Thank you very much, because I always forget to do it myself. It's tinyurl.com/D4, the number 4, H-O, like your mama's a hoe, and then the number 4. Keep up the good work, Viper. That's friggin' awesome.
Start. All emulation starts real slow and not very not very good and whatnot, and it gets worked on and it gets better.
High hopes for the PSP and their emulation capabilities. I really hope that thing like speeds that shit up without having to overclock the processor.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of that. But more on that later, hopefully in 2 weeks. Now, we have another email from Mr. Custard. I know you. You spend quite a bit of time on the forum. Hi all, nice show, blah blah blah. One thing C4 keeps mentioning on the show is how the PSP is best used to run emulators. Speak of the devil, look at that. See, you know, it's almost like we planned this out and things flowed. Unfortunately, there's this messing around with the firmware, especially if you want to make use of features that are present in newer firmware versions. That would be like setting your background picture to whatever you want, the web browser deal.
Not to mention, quickly, they've already put out firmware 2.5.
Yeah.
They're on the ball with setting out new stuff so that people keep wanting to up it, and so they have to wait for someone to downgrade it again.
Right, right. And we know the 2.0 downgrader does work. It takes you from 2.0 down to 1.5. I know that this works.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have that, absolutely, for the love of God, do not upgrade at this point in time.
Yeah, because the 2.5 actually does not have all that many features that are so cool.
They didn't add shit. Like, yeah. The 2.0
one. The 2.0 is a lot of really cool stuff that people want.
Yeah. This one is more just like bug fixes and like, you know, screw you, you can't downgrade kind of crap. At least 2.01 just broke the downgrade. Like, immediately they released that one. Anyhow, let's see. Furthermore, the screen format isn't ideally suited for classic gaming, which cause either black bars on the sides or stretched graphics. So, we can safely say that running classic games on the PSP is a compromise. If you're going to buy a PSP for this purpose, I suggest you keep the money in your pocket for another month and wait for the new GP2X. Let's see, the GP2X is a new handheld that will be released early November by Game Park Holdings, a spinoff of the Korean company that made the GP32. Now, I remember hearing about it, but didn't see shit all about it.
Right.
Unknown, well, yeah, you may have heard about it. First off, some basic specs of the system. Two 200 MHz ARM processors, 64 megs of RAM. The screen is 320 by 240 TFT, takes SD flash cards of up to 2 gigabytes. That's the max available size right now. And by the way, I would much rather support SD cards than Sony's fucking memory stick.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like different versions of it, only work on some of their shit. Runs on two AA batteries, either alkaline or rechargeables. The device is an unpowered USB 2.0 host, which means you can connect a USB 2 device to it that has its own power supply. Think of an external hard drive.
Now,
how fat would that be? You get those little 2.5-inch hard drive enclosures and pack around a 100-gigabyte laptop drive with you.
Yeah.
That would be dope. It features a D-pad, 4 face buttons, 2 shoulder buttons, start and select, plus volume controls. Every button is freely programmable. Under $200.
Wow.
That's pretty fat, huh? Now, I want to stop right here real quick, though, and I want to mention the lack of an analog stick on that. Okay, now that is definitely absolutely not required for portable gaming, for one.
I don't think any of them did have it.
Yeah, the PSP has that little analog stick on it that slides around, which is pretty cool, but I've discovered that that thing is not so comfortable due to its positioning.
Mm.
You know, I keep walking past the things and using other people's, and I grab hunters, and I go to work, and they're there. And it's really rough to play for an extended period of time, you know, like, I mean, even like 5 minutes. It's in a weird spot.
Right.
It's lower. Right? And it's not like the PSP, it's not like the DualShock controller where it's off to the side a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost straight down from the D-pad almost. It just seems like you're bending your thumb all weird. So you almost feel like you're holding the PSP like in your fingertips trying to play with it.
Right.
It's really quite awkward. And I can't help but think to myself, Sony designed this thing to be a 3D portable gaming system where you're going to use the analog stick an awful lot. And they stick it in a spot where it's not so comfortable again.
Yeah, it's like their goal is to put it in a strange spot.
I don't know what they're doing. It's like they're trying to, like, mutate humans or something and get us to develop, like, a sixth finger or something to use this goddamn thing sometimes. All right, let's see. Now, I have to say beforehand, you won't get PSP-like graphics out of this box. Oh, that was another thing I was going to mention. The PSP screen, he mentioned that, you know, it cuts it off weird and all that stuff. I don't care. It's fat.
Mm-hmm.
That screen is one of my favorite sayings in the world, crystal fucking clear. Okay? It is amazing. That screen drops my jaw every time I see it. It yeah. really looks incredible. Okay, you won't get PSP-like graphics out of this box. It has accelerated graphics, but that's 2D only. So what you have is a system that doesn't sound terribly impressive compared to the power of the PSP or the unique properties of the DS. However, for certain, that's underlined, gamers, this handheld has a unique feature that makes it unbeatable by any other handheld. The GP2X is a completely open platform. It runs Linux and supports SDL. Porting of existing Linux games and emulators will be quite easy, and quite a few ports are being worked on at the moment. One of the first emulators available will be a SNES emulator, presumably a port of the very compatible SNES 9X. Quake and Duke Nukem 3D are underway as well.
So the scene is already there, for, and it's not even out yet?
Yeah, they've all lined up, ready to be ported to this thing, good to go. If it's running all that same code, essentially, you're good to go. Which is sweet. I'm so glad that SNES 9X took off, too. Because I used that thing for days, and everybody was like, no, that whatever the other one was that everybody used.
I always used SNES 9X.
See, me too, and there was that other one that it seemed like everybody told me to use, and I hated it, and they kept saying it was better, and then now look what happens, bitches.
Is it SNESTICLE?
No. It was something completely different. It went like up on SourceForge or something a while back. I can't remember the name, but I hated it anyway. Let's see. If that wasn't enough, the GP32 is a capable media player as well. Now, I'm not so sure. He probably meant to say if the GP2X. Let's see. It supports AUGs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. That's like in addition to MP3, you know, so you're going to be able to play all your MP3s and all that crap. And for people like me, whose music collection is actually stored in AUG format, I'm going to get to listen to my shit, which is nice. It plays MPEG-4, DivX, and XVIDS right out of the box.
Whoa.
Yeah, no need to convert them. Just plunk the movie on the SD card and play. That is dope.
Yeah.
I'm actually not 100% sure how that works on a PSP yet. We'll have... I'm sure everybody in the world knows the damn thing's been out for 6 months and we don't have one yet. But I think you have to run it through that PSP Video 9 thing to convert it over. I think. I really don't know yet. I haven't screwed with it yet. The GP2X has a TV out. How dope is that to hook up your emulated? I know this thing's the shit, huh? For under $200.
And it's designed to be everything that they're trying to make the PSP.
It's exactly without all the headache, right? Does this sound exciting? Hell, to me it does. I pre-ordered in September. Expect a review when I have received my unit. The website is www.gp2x.com. That's GP like Game Park. 2x.com. Greetings, Mr. Custard. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
That is fat. That is like some hella good news. And I do remember that GP32, and I don't remember seeing like shit all about it. And I don't know why. It seemed like a great idea. But this could be, you know, like the Uber handheld old school game type box right here. The kind of thing that you can't live without.
Right.
I know I would enjoy it very much. And a couple reviews for us here. From Vex, we have a Myst 5 review. Hey guys, I was cruising through a local game store last week, and I noticed that Myst 5 End of Ages was out. All I knew about this game is that it was in 3D rather than pre-rendered scenes like the previous Myst games were. Thinking about a 3D Myst 5 kind of turned me off, and I never played Uru, so I didn't know what to expect with this game.
I didn't like it at all. Uru was ghetto to me.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, I loaded it up, and immediately the game sucked me in. Having a full 3D environment to roam around was even more immersive than I thought it would be. The worlds are as stunning as the ones in Myst 4, even running on my ghetto 1.2 GHz with a GeForce 2MX. Ouch! And the music fits the atmosphere perfectly as usual. The best part about Myst 5 is the puzzles. They are intuitive and actually make a lot of sense in relation to the worlds, unlike the previous Myst games. Some of Riven and Myst 4's puzzles especially were extremely vague and left you feeling lost. You won't have nearly as much trouble with Myst 5, making the game shorter but also more enjoyable. My only complaint with the game is the extremely low frame rate in some of the more massive areas, 2 to 5 frames per second max. Okay, that's probably due to your GeForce 2MX.
Yeah, but 2?
Yeah, that's bad.
2?
Even with the lowest resolution and lowest graphical options set, my system is above the minimum requirements and still chokes on this game. But it was playable for me, 15 frames per second average. So if you have a decent system, you'll have no problems running this game like it was intended. Kobar, I know you are into the Myst series, and if you're still wondering about Myst 5, it gets my recommendation as someone who was once skeptical about it. Love the show, Bex.
Well, I actually have it.
I thought you said you played it for at least a little bit before you got sucked into
something.
Whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Something else.
The 3D models kind of turned me off a little bit. They have very good facial features. It almost looks like they took someone and put those little markers on them and then, like, video captured it.
Right, right.
But I don't know. I really, really liked the style of Myst 4, and it was kind of a shame to me that they went back to the whole Uru thing.
Hmm.
But with that Shining review, I'll probably give it another shot.
Definitely sounds worth checking out. Not my cup of tea, so...
Right.
Yeah, that's...
As well as not many people. So,
yeah, yeah, that's very true. That's very true. But I do run into quite a few people that do want to hear about stuff like that. So, all right. And let's see. We have another review for a movie review here. And this is from Lentium. This is a movie called The Fog. Hey, C4, Kobar, and random other co-hosts, if applicable. And I'll tell you what, that was supposed to be Ribo, I think. And somehow we... screwed up our schedule. Oh, no, we won't be recording at this time of day. And we're recording at the exact time of day that he would be available. I'll take the blame for this one. That was all kinds of my fault. I'm half asleep today and still kind of sick. Thought you might like a review of an absolutely wonderful movie called The Fog. Seriously, I didn't even pay to see this movie, and I wanted my money back. It was that bad.
Well, I saw this...
That's awesome.
I saw this in the thing, and I thought to myself, okay... suspense movie, like, it looked like it was, I didn't read anything about it, but it looks like it's something like a horror suspense type of deal, and it's PG-13.
Oh my god.
That's not right off the bat. That's...
You know, that can't work very well.
No, you gotta have room to, like, creep people out and
yeah,
stuff.
So horrible that I'm not going to refrain from dropping spoilers just so no one will have reason to go see this piece of crap. Which is our standard fare around here. If it sucks and it's that bad, who cares? No, it's a public service that we provide here, right? We don't drop these spoilers and whatnot on bad stuff because we want to ruin it for you. We're trying to save you, all right? So this is totally acceptable.
Saving you from yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, you just can't help it. You're curious, you know? It can't really be that bad, you know? But if you already know it...
I've heard that come out of C4's mouth. For some stuff, then holy crap.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I got problems. The plot is that this island town has these four founding fathers who pretty much funded the town's growth by themselves. But they murdered a boat full of diseased people to get the money. So now these people are back for revenge or something in the form of this fog.
Murdered?
A boat full of diseased people to get money.
But that's generally how one goes about getting money in a shady fashion.
Yeah.
How does murdering sick people give you money?
I don't know. I guess you could see, like, the government paying you to kill off some people that got some funky disease.
All right.
You know? Eh? Whatever. Okay, I'm going to be open-minded here. Here are examples of some of the completely ridiculous things that happened. A guy is locked in a freezer for 16 hours. It's cold enough to have him completely covered in frost. But 5 hours after some people find him, he's walking around with full motor and cognitive ability. A woman nice. Screams underwater, but no air bubbles come from her mouth.
Very nice.
Another woman uses her 10,000-watt FM transmitter to successfully send a distress call after the power to the whole city has gone out. No, the building didn't have a generator. All the lights and equipment were off. An old woman was grabbed by one of these undead things and started to rust, it seems. And then it cut to a shot of a burnt, smoking skeleton hitting the floor. The woman that was underwater was also grabbed by a similar arm on two separate occasions, but it conveniently let go and she was all right. I hate that when there's no consistency in your creepy movies, you know? God, that pisses me off. All the deaths were mediocre at best, completely unoriginal. The one death that looked like it might have some promise, a man standing around some glass display cases, the glass all breaks and starts to circle around him, ends with just two or three shards going through his torso and producing no blood in the process. I mean, come on. Anyways, no one go see this movie. I give it a Canadian quarter out of 875 US. That's awesome. Thanks for doing the show for as long as you have, and please don't stop anytime soon. Lentium, the WoW beta info guy. Oh, yeah. All right. This email is going to start out as an apology on my part because I was like half-brained and didn't get half of his jokes. And I remember reading this email too, and I know it was supposed to be funny, and I didn't know why. Foreigners. All right. This is from Tommy. Hi, y'all. Sorry you didn't get my jokes on episode 100. Just to put something straight, the TV series V and not the wait, as in the letter V and not the number. It's www.movieprop.com/V. But it was a cheesy show anyway. I also thought you would get the CK equals Calvin Klein joke, but what the heck? Also, send a turd. Oh, I remember this very well.
Yeah.
Sends real human feces, not postcards. I'm serious when it comes to Jack Thompson. All right, enough bitching. Okay, I played the Fear single player and multiplayer, and I really enjoyed the single player. I found the multiplayer to be more of the same first-person shooters to be out there. I mean, Deathmatch and Capture the Flag is nothing special these days. My local toy shop had a sellout, so I managed to buy Tribes of Vengeance for 5 euros. Eat your heart out, Modem. I also own Tribes 1 and 2, and there never was a single-player storyline, but in 3 there actually is a very nice one.
For 5 euros?
Yeah, that's crazy. Also, as Tribes is about multiplayer, this really worked out nice. The inventory screens where you can select upgrades, guns, armor, etc. has been simplified and works much better than the previous versions. The game did remind me of Battlefield 2 because of the large maps and vehicles, etc., but still has a different feel to it. If you like a fast first-person shooter with large terrains, you really can't go wrong for that price. Hell, shit, I'll send you $5.
I played Tribes Vengeance a little bit. I had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
I haven't played it, and I absolutely adored the first two. And I don't know why I haven't played it. I don't have a good reason to not play it. It slipped the crack. Something else came out that I wanted to play that much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to say, oh, Christ, I think it was EverQuest, and this is why MMORPGs are bad, and you should not
play
it.
No, because I played it.
Yeah, but... Well, yeah, that's true, huh? Maybe
and it would have been at the very beginning of EverQuest.
Doom?
Maybe it might have been Doom.
It might have been Doom that came out that ruined it for me. And it was just like, well, the bigger game is going to win, and I somehow slipped on Tribes, and it didn't happen. Next up is King Kong. I played the demo on my PC, and I think the appropriate term is that it sucked monkey balls. That's awesome. The demo has 2 levels, one where you play as Jack, the hero, and one where you play King Kong, which is the ape. Surprise. There was a bug on my system, because when I played the Jack level for some reason, I kept turning to the upper left until I switched off the mouse sensitivity. The graphics were nice, as the setting, but I just couldn't get into the game. It just felt more of the same. The King Kong kept switching between camera viewpoints, but kept playable. That doesn't say much because it was just button mashing until all your enemies dropped dead, which, you know what, can actually be a goddamn good time.
Yeah.
They really tried to make King Kong look great. The movement and face are really nice, but its hair looked like something from the PlayStation 2, which is to say it's like probably that, like, it's just a texture of hair that looks very flat.
Right.
I have this big problem with PS2 games looking like everything is super flat with a texture stuck right on it. I finally played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and it's a nice game to play for 15 to 30 minutes because a mission doesn't last that long and the environment is very rich. I'm really pleased with the big level... with the big levels, with all its details and stuff today. Yes, I agree it's more of the same Grand Theft Auto, but that said, if you don't have much time to play, this is really easy to get into and play for a couple of minutes. Now, I gotta say, that's the first thing that anybody's ever said to me about Grand Theft Auto, like in a positive light, that I 100% agree with.
Made sense.
Yeah, that actually, like, bam, that works for me. He's won this argument with me because he used logic. It works for me. Holy shit. That's amazing. You know, he's right, though. I never really quite thought about it as like maybe a collection of minigames.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting take on it. I never quite thought of that. Because you know what always happens to me? I end up playing it for 5 hours at a time.
Right.
And I get incredibly sick of it, and I try it again, and I do it for 5 hours again. I'm like, oh, fuck this game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have a confession to make. Hey, listen to that. See? A listener may have changed my outlook on a game I absolutely abhor. Look at that. That's some shit. That's pretty awesome, man. I'm digging this. This is Tommy. That's pretty awesome, man. I have to hand it to you. That doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
I know. It's hard to, once I get something stuck in my head, it's hard to change my mind. But the key is simple logic. All right. Also, I have a confession to make, as I found out I got something for zombie movies. So I watched Land of the Dead. I guess it has to be some sort of sequel to Day of the Dead, which I really liked. But it's a complete story on its own. Basically, the world has been taken over by zombies for a couple of years now, and humanity has some outposts and tries to reorganize. So they raid towns where zombies live and bring back the stuff to their outpost. The story gets interesting when there is a zombie leader that organizes all the other zombies. That's kind of neat. I thought it was quite believable if you accept the fact that zombies exist. That's cool. Also, I think it's your duty as a reporter to get a DS, PSP, Xbox 360, PS3, and Revolution and tell us about it and its games. I don't care if you don't have the money. Given the fact that you think about Hurricane Katrina as you do, you may as well drive to New Orleans and loot one. And he's entirely right. We plan on getting all these, first of all. And second of all, if just I could drive down there, I would. I also started to watch Battlestar Galactica, and one of the guests on your show made a rant about the six-sided CDs that they supposedly used. I really enjoy people who are experts about science fiction on TV.
You hear that, Zayfan?
Owned! Jerry can drop an anvil on Tom, and he only gets a bump on his head. Now, see, no, I'm with him on this, too, because I watch movies for pure enjoyment of the movie. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's not believable in one sense, I guess, I mean, like, it's like, okay, the Fog movie, where you got, sometimes you burn to ash, and for no reason, sometimes they can touch you and you're fine. That breaks the believability of the scene to me, right there. Right. You know what I'm saying? If they both burned up, that would have been fine for me, totally acceptable. My mind would have just said that's what happens when these things touch you. But when you screw up like that, that doesn't work. I get made fun of for enjoying all kinds of movies all the time. I mean, I'm just off the top of my head thinking of like what's the craziest example that people always give shit for, like Swordfish and Hackers. I enjoy these movies. They're fun. They're entertainment. Yeah. And they're like, computers aren't like that. I'm like, okay, listen there, I have 12 Matrix posters in my rooms, boy, and I fucking have a little flip phone and the fucking thing like Neo, and I call myself the One. All right? You're going to give me shit, okay? Fuck you, all right? That's what I have to say about that. Anyway, back to the email. Cyclone Death Stars attack the human race. AI have advanced clones. Humans have light jumps. But it's unlikely they have six-sided CDs because ours are round. I think that's because reality does not equal fiction. But hey, that's just me. I wouldn't let them play GTA too much. Oh.
I understand where Zafan is coming from. Because, like, they have the piece of paper with the corners
right,
cut off.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Right, exactly.
Why would you take
you're
a CD?
You're losing real estate on
right.
a piece of paper.
Why would you take the CD and lose real estate?
Exactly.
But
it doesn't make sense.
It's science fiction.
Right, you can do whatever the hell you want.
The point is that they're different.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Why those things are like that
exactly.
is to show that they're different.
Exactly. All right, let's see. As a non-smoker, give C4 the evil eye, it also struck me that everybody smokes like hell in that series. I cannot name one TV series where they smoke as much as here, except perhaps G-Man from the X-Files.
And my only problem is, where are they finding the tobacco?
They're growing it in their hexagon-shaped farms.
Ah!
As always, keep the good work. You guys always make me laugh, and that is a great way to start the day, Tommy. You know what? This email kicked ass, and I just want to say, I stumbled a lot through this, I noticed, and I had to slow down at certain parts, and it's English is not his first language. It can't be. And he did a hell of a job, I think, putting together one awesome email with perfect reviews of everything, got his points across, covered a lot of bases and stuff. You know, I really liked that. I really appreciate that. It was a little rough to read, though, but, you know, I hope that I did a good enough job. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because it doesn't read like I read. But thank you very much. That was pretty awesome. That covered a lot of ground, and now I've got to, like, make hella notes on what exactly we did. So, all right, moving right along, we actually get to hear from Zayfan, Mr. Hexagon himself, because our last, not quite email, more of a voicemail we've got from Zayfan here, actually talking about fear. And this is really cool. I like this because I'm sick and tired of reading emails that are so long. I get all dry and thirsty, and it's just I can only drink so much Pepsi in a day. All right, well, here's Zayfan on his fear review.
Hello, C4 and Kobar. This is Zayfan. I am sending you the very first game radio voicemail thingy. And all the other listeners out there should fear me for coming up with this idea and approaching C4 with the idea and getting the response of C4 saying, please send in voicemail, I will suck your cock if I can avoid reading yet another one of Cushion's uber massive long emails. And of course I sent you a voicemail not only to declare that I am awesome in such a way that I am actually going to do a mini review of Fear, the new action PC game by Monolith for Vivendi, and it's so very awesome. It's actually a very nice game. It has incredibly high specs, so those of you who have, you know, a sub 9500 or something like that, you're going to be fucked. You're basically going to be running on 640 by 480, and it's going to be, you know, really shitty, and you're going to get a seizure from watching your screen monitor refresh at 60 hertz. But, of course, they have very high specs for a very specific reason. The game is absolutely stunning. At least I assume it is stunning, if it's actually at a decent resolution, unlike me, who has it go on at 800x600. Yes, Zayfin actually played a game at 800x600, and this is the very first game I've ever played on 800x600 settings. Just to give you guys an idea of what the game is like when it comes to how demanding it is, I had to play this on 800x600, medium to low settings on my AMD Athlon 2400+, 512 megs of RAM, and a Radeon 9600 XT. But now to the actual game content. Storyline is actually quite nice. It's of course not, you know, a movie or a book, but it's good by video game standards. I can't really give that much of the plot without spoiling it, so all I'm gonna say is the starting, which is there's a psychic commander guy, and he has a bunch of clone soldiers, and he basically went insane and started massacring everyone and eating their corpses. The gameplay is very nice. You run around, you shoot people in the head, they scream as you shoot them, they talk to each other saying, he's trying to flank us, or let's flank him, or I see his flashlight. They're actually quite intelligent, and it's a very, very nice feature to hear them actually say stuff when they react to you with their AI, instead of just, you know, well, he's doing this, or I'm going to do this. They actually say it and do something. It just makes them seem a lot more human than, you know, just some mindless drone that's doing stuff automatically. And of course, as C4 mentioned, in earlier episodes, the AI do a bunch of stuff like flip over tables and jump through windows and run away from grenades. And, you know, they're nice. And there's a bunch of other nifty features like, melee. You can run up to some guy and punch him, or you can jump into the air and kick him in the face, or you can do a bunch of other weird melee moves that I probably haven't discovered. Of course, there's slow-mo, which is very, very useful. I really didn't use melee that much, but I used a lot of slow-mo. The recoil on a lot of the weapons is absolutely huge, so it's very hard to aim and actually shoot at a rapid-fire pace, which I guess would make it realistic. Though I do enjoy how it actually gives a huge amount of recoil instead of just, what's that thing called? Cone of fire. Instead of just, you know, like in Counter-Strike, where you shoot and your cone of fire expands, your gun actually moves around and is really hard to keep your aim over the guy, especially at distances. But that doesn't come up a whole lot because this game is primarily a close combat game. That means most of the time you're basically going to be shooting some guy in the face from a few feet away, and the recoil doesn't equate that much into it. While there are quite a few freaky moments in the demo, the actual full game doesn't have a huge amount of freaky things happening. It's creepy, but it isn't like Doom 3, oh my god, there's another thing popping out at me and trying to eat my face off. It's more like very subtle things of seeing some guy who's already died walking across, you know, a hallway, or hearing giggles or crying babies, or, you know, shit flying all over the place like a poltergeist effect. It's generally very creepy, but it isn't exactly a survival horror game. It's a first-person shooter first, and a horror game second. I don't want to go too long on this, so I'm just going to end it here. This is Zayfan, my voicemail, and back to C4 and Kobar and their awesomeness.
That's right, and our awesomeness continues. That was awesome. I really, really liked that. I didn't have to sit here and talk and talk and talk and screw something up. Now we just need to get Zayfan on the show more often. Alrighty, that kicked ass. I am looking forward to playing Fear, because I was really excited about the demo, and I like the idea of like the whole scary, creep you out kind of stuff, you know? I really dig that. Doom freaked my shit out.
I also like the fact that it's more more ambiance as opposed to things just jumping out at you and startling you.
Yeah, yeah.
Being
yeah.
actually scared is a lot cooler than just, ah!
Yeah, yeah. Like a shock value terror, yeah. That's because that kind of stuff is the kind of shit that happens. Like, see, Doom did have a mix of that for me. You know, there was plenty of that shit that just scared the shit out of me, and plenty of the super creepiness, you know, that I was just like, I was freaked out. I'm walking around the house turning lights on, you know? I don't do that. I know exactly where every piece of furniture is. I'm not going to stub a toe. It's not that I'm scared of. It's the demons jumping out of my refrigerator that I'm scared of. Okay, and, you know, the game was able to put that in my head. As far as news goes this week,
no news is good news.
This doesn't happen very often, but fuck all happened that really seemed worthy to talk about this week.
There was some headlines and stuff, but none of it really seemed all that important.
Yeah, there was two things I can think of that maybe we could have gone into, but one of them was something about terrorist Jackie Thompson and his some of his backers dropping support for him.
Right.
And then there was something about ATI came out with some Uber hack for OpenGL, and it's like a 30% speed increase on their cards. Yeah, and I need to look into it more, which is why we're actually not talking about that particular one, because I was all kinds of excited over that one. And I don't like ATI. I don't like them. I'm sorry. I have too many problems with their shit, so I'm hoping that NVIDIA figures out what the hell they did.
When was the last time you had an ATI card?
A long time ago. No. It's not about that. I work with them every day and have to install them and troubleshoot them and fix them, and I've seen, oh god, far more ATI cards dead than NVIDIA cards. That's for damn sure for one.
I've had my 9600 since it was the $400 card.
It's time to replace it.
Yes, most definitely. But it's been the perfect card for me the whole time. I've had no problem with it. It's run every game I've ever tried to put it through. And
I am absolutely certain that's because you know what you're doing, and the people that I see at my job obviously don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But that shouldn't cause hardware failure, for one. And for two, if something does get into your machine, you know, Windows is very picky. You know, it's like a super high-maintenance girlfriend, you know, where if just one thing is wrong, it'll set you off, you know, set her off. And you don't want to break that fragile little case at all. You know, you just want to have it just so. And if there is something wrong with your box and you try to throw ATI in there and they got their funky-ass drivers all over the place, something bad is going to happen, as far as I've seen. It just seems like they have issues still. And they have not done anything yet to win me over. So, in fact, if it was up to me, to this day, I would be using a 3D effects card. I'd be using a Voodoo 12 by now.
I actually never owned a Voodoo.
That's some sad shit. You know what? I got a little good story. I'll tell it later some other day. There's a good story with Wolf about the Voodoo card.
I had a freaking, it was Diamond, but that was the manufacturer.
That was the manufacturer. They made all kinds of shit.
Right.
Like Voodoo 2s. They made all kinds of stuff. Those guys suck
when
anyway.
When Voodoo was out, I had the other one.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of what it was.
Like a... Well, I don't know either off the top of my head.
I can't. I just remember that it was a diamond off the top of my head.
Aw, alright. Well, whatever the case. Oh, well. Maybe it'll come to you.
Yeah.
Now, the games that we have to talk about, this is something else because we got a hold of some demos, and I'm sure everybody's seen this at a lot of retailers that they've been at. It was a PS2 demo disc with a couple games on it that I really wanted to check out because they're from our friends at Electronic Arts.
Yay!
So... We had to check these out just to see, you know, what it is that keeps Electronic Arts funded, okay, to find out why they're so fantastic. So, yeah, take this for what it's worth from us, okay? Now, the first game that was on this demo disc was From Russia with Love. This is 007, James Bond at his best there. This is on the Xbox, the PS2, and the GameCube. And this one takes place back in, like, the 60s-style Bond, right? And it's got, like... Sean Connery does the voice.
Yeah, he's the voice. He's the Bond that you're playing, and
right. Who, convincingly enough, doesn't look much like him. But I could, you know, I made some stupid comment about no, that's not him. That was great. Obviously, what I meant was his voice at the time. Yet I specified that when I said that that's not him. That's his voice.
Yeah.
Sometimes I amaze myself. This is based on the second Bond movie, one that I've actually never seen. I've only seen recent ones. Mm-hmm. So sue me. I'm sure I'm going to get a flood of emails. You've got to watch the older Bonds.
No, I've seen a couple of the older ones, and I think they suck.
Really? I'm sure they do. I'm sure they're interesting little gadgets and all, but
the problem is I don't like the whole 60s, 70s,
right,
futuristic sci-fi special effects and stuff. Like they have, like the original Star Trek.
They got those.
And they're like flipping switches instead of buttons, and it's just horrid to me.
That's pretty bad.
I understand it was the time and this, that, and the other, but I can't go back. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I have issues with that too. Games I can overlook time because they've withstood the test. Movies I have a real hard time with. So this one, okay, now first thing you notice about this game, or that I noticed about this game, was that the graphics sucked. This has that very first generation PlayStation 2 feel for it for some reason to me. Very flat looking things with crappy textures on it, and I don't know why it feels like that to me. It just kind of looks bland.
It definitely wasn't special. I don't think it was quite as bad as you thought it was, but it was definitely that kind of flat that you were talking about.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it had any polish to it. Now, granted, this is just a demo, so who knows how much shine they're going to tack on.
Right.
Second of all, this is great because this is the main part of the review for this game. The controls are not great in this game. Like, they're not just the buttons. I didn't like the layout. Like, you're all over the keypad for some reason, but it doesn't matter because you don't actually really play this game. This is like if Square decided to make a first-person shooter to me. Like, where you're just kind of like sitting back watching it all happen. It's really strange. This is the big problem I have with this game. Okay, you don't aim at anything when you shoot it. Now, this is a third-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And you aim by pressing L1, you know, or whatever it is, your left trigger button.
That works fine for something, say, like GTA, because there's so many other things you're doing.
Right. That's not primarily like a shooter, though. You know,
right.
That's
more you do like shooting.
You shoot in it, but it's not a shooter. There
right.
You. Right. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. This, however, is an like action shooter. And yet you don't have to have any skills. Seriously, you have like a 180 degree angle of like seriously, whatever you're facing and off to the sides, you tap L1 and bam, you're aimed dead on this mm-hmm. guy. And you hold the trigger. So basically you walk around, right? You push forward on the left analog stick, you walk forward, you hold down L1 or L, whichever your trigger is on whatever console you're playing this on, and then you just start tapping your right trigger as fast as you can to kill the thing. Who knows what it is, but you have like these superhuman reflexes because you don't need to aim. You just bam, brr, bam, brr, and you're dropping dudes left and right. Now, it's easy because they're not dropping you. They're not even hitting you for shit.
There's one time C4 was the one playing this, and he was flat out in the middle of this room with like literally 10 guys with automatic weapons firing at him, and he's in wide open and hardly gets hit. Yeah, he's just dropping dudes because he's just hitting that L button. And
It was pathetic.
Yeah.
It was really, really pathetic. I could not believe that this was that bad. Like, okay, now, as if that's not bad enough. Okay, this game has, like on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as gameplay goes, it's like a 2.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like a 2. Now, I thought that was bad enough. And then we came to the part where it tries to be action-y, you know, like where you walk up like a pile of shit, like a desk or something that's in your way, and you can press X to jump over it, you know, or hop or whatever. He has a multitude of moves and all that stuff, right? They try to make it look cool, okay? So you walk up to whatever it is, and you press the button, and he does this little action. Now, there's this one part where you're jumping over like on these like chandeliers or whatever. So we run up to the edge, and I hit the button, and Bond jumps, and I'm being real careful. You know, I'm like easing up to the edge so I don't fall off of these chandeliers. I don't want to fall down to the bottom floor because that's annoying to have to do the level again and get back up to the top, right? Mm-hmm. And I edged up. I hit X. Bond jumps, grabs onto the edge, climbs up. I edge to the, you know, I creep to the edge of the next one. I hit the button. Bond jumps, makes the jump perfect every time, okay? Because nothing I did could affect that. And, you know, we went and did whatever we had to do. We go to some room and, you know, how do I get to the roof? Oh, here's the key. Just some chick just standing there where there's these dudes with masks and guns and all this crazy shit going on. There's just some chick hanging out somewhere on the top of this place with a key to get you upstairs. This was supposed to be like their puzzle element here, I guess.
I guess so.
Right? So you get the key, you turn around, and you open the door that was just locked, that you just passed, okay? And I actually did not even think to try that. I thought for some reason I had to go somewhere else. So I turn around, I go to start doing my jumping over the chandeliers again, right? Thinking I had to go that way for whatever retarded reason. Apparently, there is dumber gamers than there is levels out there. And I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if I can, like, run and time this jump, you know, and if I would take damage if I fall. I was wondering what would happen if I just kind of, instead of edged up, you know, to the edge very, very carefully and took my careful jumps, could I run, hit jump, and I would go faster. And at the time, I thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So I run to the edge, hit jump, run to the edge, hit jump, and I make it all the way across the chandeliers. No problem. I'm like, wow, my timing is impeccable. That usually doesn't happen the first try on a game I'm brand new to.
Mm.
Wait a minute. I can't fall off these edges. How retarded is that? You just Bond just sits there in his run style, like he's still running in that direction on this invisible wall on the top of this damn chandelier that you're not falling off of. And it's just like, okay, that's pretty lame, Electronic Arts. That's pretty stupid. Also, almost every enemy you drop seemed like there was just ammo everywhere and armor all over the damn place. I mean, there was more stuff that I knew what to do with, it seemed like. It was just kind of dumb. Now, you have this is where the 2% of gameplay comes in. You have this, like, I can't remember what the hell it was called, but it's essentially like a super zoom Bond mode weird shot thing.
Bond.
I don't know. Bond view or something. I don't know. Whatever the hell it is. It's like, I don't know. Bond sense is what I'm going to. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Okay. So you have Bond sense. So let's say I'm auto-targeted up on some dude who's rappelling down from the ceiling or something with a rope. Okay. And I'm shooting at him. Well, then I press square. You know, I was playing this on the PS2. And it zooms into like a first-person view really up close on your target, though. But it pinpoints like these, like maybe two different parts on the rope or something, you know? These are all scripted and set up things, okay? Mm-hmm. And so your next shots just magically go right to wherever it is that these little things are highlighted, and you basically shoot the rope and the guy falls and dies, okay? Mm. But you're not actually doing the aiming. You're not coming up with the cool way to kill a guy. It's just that way, and that's how it works, and all you have to do is press another button to do something cool if you want. But there's no need to, since you have this super aim where I can shoot miles, it seems like, as long as my target's on the guy, and hit him every time. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it is so bad. It is ridiculous, okay? The music, I didn't care for either. It didn't feel like it had any punch to it, okay? It it was the standard Bond theme kind of thing that you're hearing. It just didn't feel like, hell, I don't know, I enjoyed it more than Nintendo 64, I don't know why. It felt like it just had more punch when I was playing GoldenEye, just like more pizzazz or something to the damn music. I don't know. It just felt kind of gay. So, of course, you know, they've got gimmicks in this. They've got these little gimmicky things, you know, oh, you can drive the car, you can do this and that, you got a flamethrower and rocket launchers, all this assortment of stupid bullshit, which doesn't matter because the game sucks. And then they keep pimping this jetpack that you have. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can fly a jetpack in this game. Well, that's only so cool if you actually really get to get into the whole flying the jetpack thing. Instead, Bond just kind of hops into it, and you have one button for up and one for down, and then you can kind of fly around, you know, with the analog stick. The thing of it is like once you get to the place you're at, like the altitude that you want to be, you can let go of the button, and you'll hover there, which is fine, because you're shooting other people in jetpacks, which happens all the time, right?
Right.
So You get there, though, and it just seems more like I had to move myself into position to shoot these other guys. It felt exactly like I was when I was on the ground, except for more of a hassle, now that I had, like, up and down to deal with, too.
Right, right.
You know, it wasn't like I was flying along and shooting some cool stuff like a shooter. It was like, okay, I've got to get from point A to point B. So I'd fly over there, stop, shoot some dudes with my sick, mad, you know, skills, okay, and headshot everybody out of the sky, and then fly somewhere else and, you know, do it again. And fly somewhere else and do it again. It was just so freaking boring. So the boss comes out. This helicopter that can't hit me for shit. It's just he shoots these slow-ass rockets. You have, like, a nifty little dodge move you can kind of do with your jetpack. And I take out this helicopter with, like, 700 rounds of my pistol. And I don't know where Bond kept those. And that must have used a lot of fuel to keep me levitated that high in the air. Okay, when I was packing around that much ammo. It was so freaking ridiculous. This game made me sick.
The thing I didn't like about this the most, now granted this was one level, it was just a demo.
Right, right.
But
keep that in mind, this is From Russia with Love, 007.
Right. There was not a single spy thing.
Oh, right.
There was no.
No.
This single spy element whatsoever the entire level.
Right. That's a good point. You couldn't, like, hack the... Okay, we came to locked doors. You don't hack the control panel. You don't have a lockpick. You don't do some cool spy-type thing to get through the door. What do? You shoot
the panel.
Yeah. Well, come on. That's just being lazy, okay? Now, granted, that worked in stuff like GoldenEye, you know, but, I mean, how many years ago was that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you still did have your keycard thing and other weird stuff that you had to do to it. You know, it was so gay. This game was absolutely shit. It was bad. And then, so, I got to thinking, could I fix this game? Could we fix this game? We're gonna have to sit here and look at all these bad games and think if there's some kind of way we can fix this game, right? Mm-hmm. In case Electronic Arts is listening, okay? And they can.
In case they want to hire us as consultants.
That's what I meant to say. That right there, okay? So, I couldn't fix it.
No, the best way is to delete the source code. And
destroy the development machine.
Yeah.
Kill the programmer.
Yep.
The lead artist, the game designer, all of them gotta go. Ship them off to somewhere else to work in a field picking rice or something. You know,
it's over. It's
done. No, this is no good. So you gotta scrap this game. You gotta call up Rare, and you gotta beg them, give us GoldenEye 2. Okay, because no matter what anybody has done, they have not topped GoldenEye for Nintendo 64. And there has been a shitload of Bond games out since then. I had one, No One Lives Forever or something, whatever it was. I had it on this Xbox, and it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, that one was supposed to be good.
It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't GoldenEye. It wasn't that good. So it was actually not too bad. It really wasn't, but it still wasn't fantastic. So yeah, if you can get a hold of Rare and you know, let them know that two or three people in the world might want to see GoldenEye 2 as it should be, you know, and not this rogue agent crap, okay? maybe drop the seed in their mind that they should give us Killer Instinct 2, you know, while they're at it, you know?
Right.
If they just want to throw something our way, just, you know, make a few bucks, you know, that'd be
great.
When
was the last time Rare even did anything?
Conquer on the Xbox.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay. Moving right along on to SSX. Yeah, that's only two S's. SSX on Tour. This is a snowboarding game, and this actually is out or coming out for the Xbox, the PS2, the GameCube. There's also a PSP version. This is another one of the demos that we got to play from Electronic Arts, everybody's favorite company, because they do so well. They do such a good job. This is a snowboarding game that sets itself aside of like a regular snowboarding game. Like I want to say like 1080 or Amped.
Mm-hmm.
Because they like to think that, you know, it has like a little personality to it. Like look at the crazy characters they used to have. And it was really cartoony and a lot of fun. And it was bright and colorful and pow, bam, in your face kind of game. Right? You know what I mean? It was really right there for you. You know, it was like the... They wanted to be the Tony Hawk of snowboarding is what I felt that they were kind of shooting for on this, right. It seemed like. The problem with this new one is that it feels like they ripped all that cool personality out, and that's because it was for a reason. And it's because they're trying to appeal to a different like type of audience with this style of the game here. This is supposed to be like the rocker version of SSX. I felt it was like MTV puked on my television. It was disgusting. Now, I can't stand MTV. So that just says a little bit about how I feel about this game.
Yeah, the all the menus and everything is like with this really weird animation. It's like black... Go ahead.
It looks like a 5-year-old kid with a bunch of crayons drew it that had had something for death metal. That's what I got out of it, you know? Very poor art. Now it was done in that style for a reason.
Well, yeah.
However, I don't like that style, and I don't think too many people will. And you know, hey, there is that crowd out there that's really into that kind of thing, you know, the whole, you know, whatever. I don't know, I don't understand it, okay? But that carries over into the game too. You know, not only did you have these funky-ass menus that look like this chicken scratch drawn by your 5-year-old brother, you know, high on Ritalin with a box of crayons, you have this shit in the game. The heads-up display, your whole interface of this thing is, like, all drawn out like this. And I'm not so sure we're doing a good job of saying it's drawn out. It really looks chicken scratch together. You know, it's really bad. And there's even, like, spray paint in the snow. You know, ooh, how cool is that? And then there's some retro stuff to it, too. It just, I don't know, like old retro 2D looking type. I don't know what to think of this game. It doesn't fall in line with the rest of the SSX games. You get skis now. Whoopee-doo. I know a lot of rockers that would rather be on skis than snowboards. You get to personalize your character, you know, and give them punk hairstyles and all that crap. And I could not get behind this game at all. And I had SSX Tricky, you know, before. And I tried to get behind it. I had issues with controls on that game. But it was still a hell of a lot more fun than this. Okay. The GameCube version, I guess, has Mario, Luigi, and Peach in it, which is pretty cool. You know, I could see that being fun. And it made me think, that's what I want. I want Mario snowboarding. Okay? It's gotta be awesome. Now, and they gotta fix the controls for this game. It has to... Okay, you use the freaking analog stick to steer, right? You've got the right analog stick to do, like, your monster moves or whatever. Like, you charge up, like, a power bar, basically, for doing moves.
By hitting people and moving and stuff.
Yeah, right? Okay? And then you can bust up these, like, fat moves. And you can grind on rails and all kinds of shit like this, too. You know, just like you would expect in a game like this. And they have all that there. It's just done so poorly this time, but I don't know. I don't know what to think about this. I have to say bad things about it, but you know, hey, try it out for yourself. Particularly if you like that funky style, you know, go for it. By all means, let us know. Even the icons in the game are the same way. Like, you know, like
right.
Extra point modifier type things that are on the course look like this crap. Okay, I mean it's just terrible. Now, granted, props to the artist. He got his point across. They did a damn good. It looks like a really poorly drawn white zombie video.
Sure.
Like, it was just, you know, kind of random shit happens, which is kind of neat for the menus if it was done well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need. The artist from frickin' whoever does all the white zombie stuff to make, like, that'd be really cool. Anyway, so, the controls. And anyway, so you're playing along, you've got the left analog stick to control you, and I'm a big fan of, like, tucking down and crouching before I do a move, which disables your turning ability with your left analog stick, and your guy kind of, like, winds up to spin around because you're about to launch off of a jump, right? Well, then to do these moves, you've got to take your hand off that left analog stick and move it over to the D-pad. Okay? Not so sure that's a great idea. I don't like having to... I'm in control with that hand. Let my right hand be the one that does all the funky shit, like it always has been. I'm used to it, okay? That's not to say that change is bad, just that it doesn't work for this game, okay? It was just difficult, it wasn't fun, and I couldn't stand it. The music was absolutely horrible, absolutely terrible.
Well, not if you like that kind of music.
I'm pretty sure that even whatever kind of crowd they're trying to get to here... fucking, I don't know. Oh, and another big problem I had with this, which I'm going to get to how I would fix this game, is that there seems to me that the timing is so weird on landing your moves, right? I get up in the air and I'm busting out some moves and some tricks. I'm looking good. And you don't have to, like, get yourself back into position and angle your board or your skis just right so you hit the snow and don't crash. You don't do that in this. You basically stop doing tricks at some point in the air and your guy auto-corrects himself so he lands perfect. Mm-hmm. Now that works great for some people, but I'm a big fan of I'm on the board. I am in control of this guy going down the mountain. I want to land it. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where I have real, real control issues with this because I'm not in control of my character at this point. And the game does it for you. And I don't like that because I've played other games like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, whatever, where you are in control. How you land really is how you land. If I land all fucked up, I crash. Mm-hmm. If I just let go of the button, I crash. Not in this. If you let go of the button, you land. It just seems kind of not okay for some reason. Like you put me in control of this. The whole game is to do this, and you take control away from me.
Right.
Okay, so it doesn't quite sit right with me. This also is like Amped, okay? I had a much better time playing Amped because I was way more in control. Played a little bit more like Tony Hawk also, which I think most people are used to in a game like this. Okay?
Right, right.
So after looking at it and getting my hands on it and thinking about it and how bad I was having, how bad of a time I was having here, I decided the perfect snowboarding game, which I hope somebody makes, is you take Amped... You throw a little bit of a dash of Tony Hawk and a dash of SSX Tricky into it. And I think you would have one hell of a snowboarding game. I think that would be a hell of a lot of fun to play, and I haven't seen anything quite like it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something with the really tight controls of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, the massive customizability of all that, the nice looks of Amped, and the pizzazz of SSX Tricky. And I think that would be one fuck of a snowboarding game.
Amped was the one where you had to, where people were like, would like take pictures of you,
reporters.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked that game. They even had you in like a real setting. You were at North Star in Lake Tahoe, you know? And it was more realistic though. Everything felt kind of big and real too. Like I was on the damn mountain. It was great. Now, I'm not a snowboarder and I really dug that.
I kind of preferred the craziness of SSX, like the track you were doing in this. There's like super huge jumps.
Right. No,
weird,
no, no.
Like,
you gotta have all that. So that's awesome. But if it looked like Amped, which looks far superior, I think we'd really be onto something here. And I'm really looking forward to seeing a new Amped. I'm hoping they do something else to it. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I think it looks pretty good. We have another game. Need for Speed Most Wanted. This is interesting, okay? Need for Speed Most Wanted, Xbox, PS2, GameCube, PC. Also, there is Game Boy Advance, Nintendo DS, PSP, Xbox 360, and a mobile phone version of Need for Speed Most Wanted. Okay, again, from our friends at Electronic Arts. Milking the cow. There is also a special edition of it. They call the Black Edition. And forgive me, I'm sorry. I assumed that they meant that it goes from being a ricer game to where you're rolling in dubs and Escalades. That is not the case. I thought you would be shooting people. I'm sorry, this is just what they call the Collector's Edition. It just has a few more ricers in it, and it's got like behind-the-scenes footage kind of stuff, and, I don't know, videos and pictures that you can't get with the normal version, okay?
I really prefer special editions to have stuff like posters.
Yeah.
And real world things
as opposed to tangible items
as opposed to like more gameplay.
Exactly.
More gameplay. I understand why they do it, but it makes me feel like I have to have.
I'm sure that's why they do it. They know that people have to have that. You know, you would feel like I'm getting the inferior
version. You don't want the Swiss cheese version of a game.
You know, exactly. And even though it's really not, they just tacked on some shit anyway just to make it feel that way, and it works. It gets me every time. You know, if it's a game I really want, I gotta have the fat version. Because I want to play everything, you know? Which sucks. That blows, because that's their excuse to charge me an extra $10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is I wrote down a street racer with rice. It's a street racing game, okay? And, like, essentially your world map type thing is like an open town, like an open city or whatever. You drive around, you do races and whatnot with people. It's street racing. So you've got these tricked out ricers, okay? Which is actually really cool. You have real licensed vehicles. Really cool. You have really awesome paint jobs on these cars. Really cool. You have cars that are invincible. Not so cool. You have a game that's whole reason for existing is to feel like you're going fast on a street. It doesn't do a very good job. Not cool. Now, I have to say, this game, I have to compare it, I mean, to Burnout. I have to. Okay, I must.
It's even the same publisher.
So, right. Okay. So, you know, your car, my essential problem is you don't feel like you're going so fast for one. All right. I enjoyed the sound of the vehicles, though, as far as ricers go. I don't prefer that sound. Mm-hmm. Okay. But at least they did a good job of replicating what they're trying to. Okay. Good job. They're getting the thumbs up so far. But it doesn't feel like you're going very fast. They totally have the whole fast idea to it. You hit your nitrous, you know, and everything, and it does Burnout style, you know, with the blurry edges of the screen. But it doesn't.
Although it has this funny cone effect that Burnout doesn't quite have.
Right.
That I didn't like.
Yeah. I thought I was wearing glasses or something. I tweaked my view. It wasn't good, though. It wasn't a good feeling, particularly after playing a little bit of Burnout Revenge, which does an even better job of giving you a feeling that you're going fast. It does Burnout Revenge did a way better job than Burnout 3, and Burnout 3 did a hell of a job. This isn't even up to par with that. I mean, it was the graphics also were definitely not as refined. Everything did kind of look kind of flat, I guess. Not flat in the PlayStation flat sense, like I like to say. It just didn't look shiny and polished and whatnot. This is a demo. I'm sure they got plenty of time to shellac on all kinds of crap. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to save this game too much. The controls were very twitchy. Each car handles differently, though. You know, but of course, they go slower if they handle a hell of a lot better. You know, that's great. You're going for the realism and all that. Fine, okay? I can't control this for shit. I am all over the goddamn road. Now, you regenerate nitrous for no reason at all, by the way. You're just driving along, and all of a sudden, ding, you know, your nitrous bar just goes off slowly. Okay?
I have no problem with that.
No, because they have to explain it somehow, right? But, you know, hey, whatever. I like a goal-oriented thing. You know, like in Burnout, say, to get your little boost bar thing up, you know, so you can get your turbos, you got to cause some damage, wreck some traffic, mess some people up. That's
or
Burnout.
Or drive on the other side.
Right. Whatever it is that you have to do, you have to take the risks, so you earn the boost. Here, they just give you the boost, and it seems to me that it would have been better if you got some per checkpoint, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
But on the flip side, as quickly as you need to get to each checkpoint, you need that boost.
Right. Well, that would have adjusted, of course. You know, I mean, if had they taken a different path in regenerating your boost, I mean, you know, they would have adjusted the courses to make it work. But I didn't feel that it was convincing enough, I guess, because, I don't know, it just didn't sit right with me. The idea of the game, I thought, sounded really good. Unfortunately, it just didn't quite feel like it was up to par. Now, the one thing I did like, in my track record of EA games, they have crappy music. Every single game from EA has shit for music, okay? Yet the only game I've ever played, they had a really cool track when you were picking your car in this game. And it would have been great to be able to hear that or hear some other tracks from it. As far as I could tell, this was the only one that I could ever get that I could get to play. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing while I was racing. I imagine that's a demo limitation. I'm absolutely positive they're going to have music when it actually comes out. But it was. I don't know. I really hope they keep whatever style they have that it was actually pretty. It sounded like Terminator X for me for some reason. So I don't know if I was right or wrong. I don't remember it saying. But now here's the kicker. This might push you over the edge from defending this game a little bit, because I noticed that you've been trying to kind of keep it together. It has bullet time.
Right.
It has bullet time. It's called speed breaker mode or what, okay? Speed breaker mode. And you do something to get some points or whatever, and the idea is when you're weaving in and out of traffic, you can go into bullet time and slow your shit down.
Well, Burnout has that.
It had bullet time?
Yeah, the crash breaker, crash.
That was that's different though. That's not in the middle of a race. That's when you're in a crash event.
Yeah, but you go into bullet time so you can adjust where you're going. It's
oh, okay.
The same
during
idea.
The race when you kind of steer yourself, I don't use that. I think it's ghetto. You don't have to use it. You just let your car crash. the chances that it's so hard to steer into people anyway. It's not like this where I'm racing, right? Burnout, you have to crash. And hey, that's different because you're already crashed. You're fucked, you know?
Right.
This, I'm blowing down the street when all of a sudden, you know, my driver decides to take that shot of meth or whatever it is that he does, where his brain starts working faster than fucking real life at fucking 150 miles an hour or whatever. And all of a sudden, you're in bullet time. While you're racing around like that, I don't think so. I'm not buying it.
No, I'll
buy burnout when you're wrecked already.
I don't think we talked about the cops.
No, I'm working on that too.
Okay, okay.
Because I was going to say that the saving grace, the ass-kicking part of this game, okay, is the cops. Now, I used to play Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, or some shit like that.
I have to disagree. I think the cops are the problem.
Really?
Now... Because it's not done well. When we were doing the cops, as long as you were doing well on the course, they're behind you. They're not doing a damn thing to you except for wee 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 wee. The second you screw up, they are on your ass and you are toast.
Right.
They cram you in and you're toast. You're done. You're in this box of cops, and so it's basically a penalty for screwing up at all.
Right. But you can break out of it. You can. It's hard, though, which I think is the cool part. You have to avoid the... Okay, so anyway, you're doing your race, right? Okay, let's set this up, though.
Right, right, right.
You're going along in your race, and you're you know, going from point A to point B to point C, going through toll booths or whatever. You get to, like, the second toll booth and some shit, and all of a sudden, you know, you're racing along, and you're really into it, and then you hear the police radio, which I think was really cool. You hear the police radio, and they're like,
the way it starts is
black
cool.
Fucking,
you see that... You see the radar detector at the top, and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
There's like this flash, the music stops.
Yeah. You know you're busted, you know? And it's kind of like when you're really driving. If you've ever been pulled over, it is there. There's that moment where your life just kind of stops, and you think, oh, fuck. It's the closest you're going to get to bullet time in real life.
Yeah, and the way they do it actually sets that in your heart. It just, it's just like, oh, shit.
It's on, right? But see, that to me got me all excited because I'm not really on the road. I'm in the video games, and now I can do what I want to do, you know?
Right, right.
Right, you listen, Jack Thompson, okay, this is how this works, okay? Now that I can do what I want to do, okay, because I can discern right from wrong, I punch it. I got to get the fuck out of Dodge, right? Now, you got shortcuts and all kinds of cool stuff you can do to try to lose these cops. You can, like, wreck them into stuff even, like they were hitting toll booths and all kinds of shit. And, right, you know, as long as you don't fuck up, it seems like you're good to go, but it's so damn hard not to screw up in this game because you're going so fast and the cars are a little squirrely that, you know, you're going to get messed up at some point.
Right.
And they're ramming into you and stuff. They're trying to box you, and you can get out of it. I was at a dead stop. And they had three of them all around me, and I couldn't barely move. And yet, I was able to reset my little "you're busted in X amount of seconds" thing by just like backing up and pulling away from them while they were, you know, trying to nail me. You can get out of it,
right? And but then also the time in between each checkpoint is so short that box time just screwed you.
It might kill you. Now, if somebody didn't suck when they played like me, I suck, and I couldn't get to the next checkpoint.
The idea is really cool, and the way it starts out is really cool. And yeah, you're gonna run away from the cops. I think it would be a lot better if they were a little better at it when you were doing well. Like, if they were to come up alongside you and nudge you.
That would be dope. Hit your rear end and set you getting squirrely a little bit.
And if they were a little less hardcore when you screw up majorly.
Right, okay. That would be very, very nice AI enhancement. It would be a hell of a lot more fun. I like the whole idea of being chased.
No, yeah.
I love that. Like,
it's
when
definitely
I play,
a good idea.
I'm like the Predator guy. You know, you play like the first-person games and they have like whatever they call it, like Predator mode, where it's everybody versus one guy. I love that. I love being the one guy. I don't know why. I used to do it in Goldmine. One versus three, I whoop everybody's ass. You know, I like this kind of feeling. Like, I'm being chased and hunted. I like it. So that's why I used to play Hot Pursuit quite a bit. You know, I was like, there was cops there. I could chase people around. I thought it was kind of neat. This, I thought, did a great job. It really feels like it got my blood going. The racing didn't, though. The running from the cops did. So that's why I'm going to say, at least in my opinion, that was the highlight of this game.
Yeah, the way they do the cop radio.
Yeah.
The way they do the initiation.
And you're hearing how they're chasing you. You were reported. You were turned in. They describe your cards just like the damn cops.
All that stuff is really cool. I'm just saying it should be a little more hardcore when you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Like nudging your back and stuff like that. And a little less when you actually screw up and they box you in and you're fucked.
I have the solution. All right? This is another bad game from Electronic Arts that we fixed today. Okay? Here's how you fix the what the hell is this called again? Need for Speed,
No.
Jesus Christ. Most wanted. Okay. Most wanted. Now, here's how you fix this game. Burnout with cops. What do you think of that, right? Now, okay, Burnout is the shit as it is. And this game can almost do no wrong. And we actually haven't, I haven't done a review on Revenge yet, right? But I will once I get some time to play the goddamn game.
Right.
Like actual real time, like some hardcore sit down time with this. I've, sadly enough, really only been playing the Minish Cap lately for some reason. Now, you take Burnout and all its coolness and you throw cops into it. Wreckable cops. They're like five times the car that the other cars are, right? So, like, as far as like what it would take to wreck a normal car, you make it five times as hard to wreck a cop, okay? Because they're skilled too. Well, theoretically, okay, some of them are. And then you get your chase on, something that you can control real easy. They're trying to hit you because that game is designed around the wrecks, and they have it built in. The physics of getting nudged from the back is already there,
right? Right.
You know, all that shit is designed for all this already. I think that would be some cool shit. The unfortunate part is Burnout, it's easy to wreck yourself, okay, like a little bit too bad. Now, they have an elimination mode thing where, I can't remember what they call it, but whatever it is, your car is good until you completely destroy it mode, whatever the hell it's called, right? So you have to wreck X amount of cars before you're destroyed, which is cool. That would work really well for the cops, where maybe they said, okay, you've got to wreck 10 cops and not wreck once. That would, you know, be really cool. That would work out really well for that. So I think that that could really make one hell of a good game. And nice try, EA, but let's give it to the guys over at Criterion who did Burnout, and they can do this cop thing correctly, and I could have a great day is what's going to happen there.
Criterion, they just did something else that's really cool.
They did some good stuff, and I'm sad to say that they're under, you know, EA's thumb, so.
I think they're the ones that are doing Serious Sam.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to look into that.
I just heard that name, like yesterday or something.
Now, we've got some other big things still. In 2 days, by the time you hear this, Quake 4 will be on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 days, Doom 3 will be, or Doom 3, God, I keep doing that. The Doom movie will be in theaters.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about
tomorrow,
that.
Fire Emblem.
Tomorrow, Fire Emblem comes out for the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually important. Okay, and we've got about 4 minutes, maybe six, to squeeze in a long-anticipated movie, the Family Guy movie, Stewie Griffin, The Untold Story.
We actually both watched this a little while ago, but somehow didn't get around to doing it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
But anyway, all in all, I was slightly disappointed with this movie for one reason. I was convinced this movie was going to be about Stewie taking over the world.
Oh.
And that would have been fact.
That would have been awesome. I think you just ruined it for me. That would have been great.
This is not about Stewie taking over the world.
It's quite the opposite, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of pathetic.
It's about Stewie's life, like, takes this major wrong turn, and the baby Stewie ends up going into the future, meeting his future self, and he's just basically gay, only he doesn't realize it still.
Yeah. It's... I didn't really care for the movie that much.
I enjoyed it. It was basically a long episode with cussing.
Right. That's kind of what it felt like, but it felt... I felt that there was a little too few funny moments in it. Like, during a normal episode, if I have an average of, you know, maybe X amount of laughs per X amount of minutes, this was lacking. This seemed like a really low average for me for some reason. Like, I just really wasn't enjoying it. You know, it starts out strong. I was laughing my ass off in the first 20 minutes of it. That was a riot. But then the rest of it just seemed kind of blah. I even fell asleep. I had to watch it again, and I was like, oh, Jesus. It's all right. It's entertaining. But I don't see this. This is straight to DVD.
Yes.
So this is a $20 movie out the gate. Okay?
Which is tough, though, because we normally give movies an $8.75, and now we're giving this one a $20. That's an odd scale change.
Right. Yes, it is. Okay. So, but unfortunately, you cannot get this movie for $8.75 because you can't watch it in the theater, you know? I mean,
right.
Your investment here is $20.
That's true.
You know, unfortunately. Okay? And huge fans of the series, I'm so sure that you will enjoy it.
Yeah, if you're a huge fan, this is a must-buy, frankly. I enjoyed it. I would
see. I enjoy the show, but I hardly would call myself a fan. You know, I enjoy it. I've seen every single episode once. You know, not like some shit that I've watched every episode like 500 times. You know,
right?
I mean, it's entertaining, but at best, it's worth, you know, sitting at home watching it on TV for free.
I imagine you could rent it though.
You can. I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can rent this movie. So,
so let's go for a rental.
We'll have to factor all this in. Okay. How much is it for a rental these days? Our friends over at Lovely Blockbuster are raping people for like $4 these days.
And I say it's definitely worth $4 to watch it once.
That's fair. I'd say it's definitely worth $4, but I mean, the only way this is going to work is keep our 875 scale. This is the only way that this is going to work. I don't see this being worth $20, though. Not even to, like, collectors, though. It's $20 for a movie that's kind of subpar, and you didn't pay that much for the series. You know? How much did you get? You get a whole... How many hours do you get of season whatever for, like, $30, you know? Versus...
Is it only 30?
I don't know.
It depends. Friggin' Star Trek is $100 a season.
Right, but as far as Family Guy goes...
And other stuff is $20 a season. It's just completely random.
This is rough. We should have thought this out further. But I'm going to seriously say, okay, out of $8.75 then, just to make it real simple, this was worth about $4.25 to me. It wasn't a wash. It was a good rental.
I give it 6.
Okay.
But you're
a much bigger fan of...
I am a much bigger fan of Family Guy. I had an enjoyable time watching the whole thing. I watched it twice.
Right. And so did I, but not by choice, really. I fell asleep.
I watched it half and then one and a half.
But it was, I don't know. I don't think it was all it should have been. I really do not. Because it was kind of like a long episode, but the problem was it felt like they took an episode and stretched it, though.
Okay.
Right? Like, they didn't add the shit they needed to in there, I guess, you know, to make it a movie. That's just kind of how I felt about it. I was actually pretty far let down, but as good as The Family Guy is, you know, it stands on its own that it's worth watching regardless. I mean, you got to watch it. It's funny. It's good. You know, but I would not pay more than $4 to watch this movie. No way. More than $4.25. There's no way. I don't think it's worth it.
I would not buy it.
Yeah, definitely not.
Rent it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely worth a rental. It's pretty funny.
It's very funny.
Yeah, and it's an hour and a half. It kills an hour and a half, you know. Better than hanging out with your baby sister and your parents. You know. Alrighty. No show next week.
Yep.
Gonna be gone, moving, packing shit. It's gonna suck. Be thankful you're not me. And the week after that, hopefully we can do the PSP stuff, which I'm really excited about. We need to deal with this and then straighten out our and do all kinds of notes and actual work on this. This is going to be some shit. But luckily there's a few brains that I can pick on this that have actually already taken care of all this. So.
There's a few that are way into it.
Yeah, yeah. So this should be awesome. Maybe if we're lucky we can get somebody on with
us. Write some emails.
That would work too. That would work too. Send some emails. Let us know what's going on. The hot emulators, the ones that actually work really well. And have you looked at some of this shit? I can only find docs in Japanese for half of it. You download whatever emulator, and your only documentation is in Japanese. I cannot figure out where I'm going wrong here. I think I must have just fell across like a bad like ring of websites or something.
Yeah, something.
You know, the sites are in full English though, 100% English.
Oh, maybe I have too because I've poked around it, but I haven't downloaded anything because I have no reason to.
Sites look perfectly ran by people who have English as a first language, and then they're here in America and all this crap. And then it's like, oh yeah, this is what you need to download. Not how to do it, though, but this is the damn thing you need. So you download it, you open it up, you don't know what to do with it, and you've got this giant text file in Japanese. A lot of good that does me. Okay, so until next week.
Later.